possibly your fame throughout the rest of the world, Dr. Goldman, rests more on the compositions that you have yourself composed for the band than it does on this series of concerts, which is, after all, really a local project in New York here. I wonder if you could tell us something about some of the work that you have done in encouraging young composers and in directing the attention to of the artistic community to band music.
Well, I realized when I first started these concerts that the band had little or nothing to offer. No real worthwhile music had been written for band except marches. All the bands played were transcriptions of orchestral music, piano music, and so on.
This was in 1911,
12, 13. And they only played transcriptions of orchestra. I thought the band ought to have a medium of expression of its own. I wrote to every living composer and asked them, why don't they write for band? They write for orchestra, they write chamber music, choral music. Most of them weren't interested. Some of them looked upon my letters as a joke. But I'm happy to say that today, practically every composer in the world is writing for band. And we have had a great triumph in this way, that the orchestras are now playing transcriptions of band music.
That certainly
and
is
we
interesting.
We feel that that's
the reverse
triumph
of the situation over a few years
in 1918, back. I offered a prize for the best composition for band. And ever since, I've been commissioning band works. I commission a new band work every year. And we have gotten some very fine works. Now we give in our summer season 8 complete programs of original band music, and every program contains some original band music. So we're making progress.
I certainly know from all that I've heard and read and seen that you've given a lot of time and devotion to this building up of the band music field, Dr. Goldman. I know that you're 75 years of age, and I was somewhat surprised to hear it said a few days ago that you have never missed a single concert appearance for which you were scheduled. Does that mean these 2,000 concerts that you've given in the park? Or
I have conducted every one of the 2,000 personally. And the other concerts which we do, aside from our summer concerts, would bring the total up to about 7,500 concerts. I have conducted them all. Before becoming a conductor, I played in the Metropolitan Opera House Orchestra.
You did.
I started there when I was 17 and played there for 10 years and never missed a performance there.
You've never
so I have never missed a performance of any kind, either as player or conductor.
Well, it says a good deal for your health, but it also says a good deal more for the intense interest that you have taken in your work over the years. I think our audience is would be interested to hear you say something about the efforts that the Goldman Band and the Memorial Concerts have made to get the participation of school children, of young people throughout the New York community. You've just showed me this program schedule for 1953, which you had printed up in a large number of copies. How many was it, did you say?
A million.
A million copies of this were printed.
All the schools, all the churches, the YMCAs, and libraries, and so on.
This informs all of the people of the community of what concerts are going to take place when.
They can, in advance of the season, they know what type of program will be rendered on every night, and thousands of people write in for those program schedules, not only from New York, all over the country, they're interested.
It certainly is a beautiful setting that you have out there in Central Park, and I can well imagine people coming from literally hundreds of miles away to hear your concerts, even apart from the excellence of their musical composition. I'm just looking over this program schedule for 1953, just to cite a few of the programs that you have. A concert evening devoted to Wagner, one devoted to Russian music, another devoted to Russian music in the other park, in the second park in which you play, then a special children's concert, then here is a school band festival, a program devoted to Tchaikovsky, a program devoted to Verdi, a French program, a Victor Herbert program, a Beethoven program, another Russian program. It certainly is a diversified program. you're obviously doing everything you can to try to...
Well, we have to have a very large repertoire, and we wouldn't have had this 35 or 36 years old because there wasn't enough of that type of music available. We've had arrangements specially made for our use, most of which have been published afterwards. Of course, I write a great deal of music myself. I've just finished my 101st march.
That's 101st.
A lot of march.
That's an awful lot of marches. It certainly is. And I know some of the better known ones are known to many of the members of our audience. On the Mall, for example, probably is one of the most popular marches any place in the world, wherever bands play. I know that you've been honored by several foreign governments during your long and distinguished career. I believe you were honored by the government of Czechoslovakia at one time, weren't you?
Czechoslovakia, France, Italy, though I've never been in those countries.
The honors that were given to you by these countries were, can you tell us what they were for?
Well, for efforts in behalf of the music of their country.
I see.
Of the various countries.
I know that the example which you have set with your high standard, your high musical standards, and here in New York, with the free open-air summer concerts, have inspired imitation among a number of other smaller American cities. Perhaps you can tell our audience about some of those. Do you know of any which are particularly noteworthy throughout
the
United States?
Well, I know that the college bands, and the high school bands throughout the country are very interested in what we do here. Our programs contain explanatory notes the music we play, and then not written in technical terms so that everybody can understand. We have them, each season's programs bound after the season. We send them to the various colleges, so they help. And after the season is over, I travel around to the colleges throughout the country and many of the high schools and conduct their bands and talk to their bands and do whatever I can for the furtherance of better bands and better band music.
Dr. Goldman, I'd like to ask you a little more specifically for the benefit of our audience abroad to tell us something about the size of the audiences to which you play. Everybody knows that New York is a big city, and I said a moment ago that it's been said that your band has played to more people than any other group in the entire world. Could you tell us what the size of your audiences are and have been over the years?
Well, we would call a small audience 10,000.
I see.
And we have played to 40 and 50,000.
My goodness, how do you find space for all those?
Well, they stand, most of them stand, of course, but we have played. When I take the platform at night, there's never a vacant seat.
I see.
No matter what kind of a program it is, whether it's a Bach program or a Beethoven program or a Victor Herbert program or a children's program, people come because they want to hear that particular program.
Dr. Goldman, would you care to make any estimate of how many people may have heard your concerts on the Mall over the
Well, I would say over 25 million.
Well, it's certainly a tribute to you, Dr. Goldman, and I know that there are millions and millions of Americans all over the United States and many others who've heard your recordings overseas who are grateful to you for the effort, the lifetime of work and devotion that you've given to making band music, to bringing band music to the stature that it enjoys today. Thank you very much for talking to us.